Welcome back to another episode of Drivers, Sports and Leisure Research Group's podcast highlighting the latest trends in the golf industry and those setting them. My name is David Klein, along with John Last. And today's going to be a little bit different as we typically do in the beginning of the year. We're really going to focus on some of the trends that we're going to be looking at for 2026 and beyond, and maybe reflect on what we saw in 2025. John, how's it going?
Going good. This is always one of my favorite episodes because we're fresh off of the PGA Merchandise Show, taking a look at what's going on in terms of new product introductions and reconnecting with the leaders in the industry. So, lots to talk about. We presented our golf business outlook with the National Golf Course Owners Association at the PGA Show. So, today we're going to highlight some of the things that we're looking at, as you said, that I think will have implications for a golf market that continues to really be in a very optimistic place. I had people say to me at the show that, this is the more optimistic that they've ever seen the industry in 20 plus years. I don't want to admit how many shows I've been to, David. It's a little more than that, but actually a lot more than that. But it was a pretty positive outlook, and not without real reason to be that way.
So let's talk a little bit about consumer optimism. John, we've seen that in our ongoing tracking that people are much more confident than they were going into 2025. In 2026, we're seeing that 63% are actually more confident that 2026 will be a better year than 2025 was. That's up from only 56% in 2025.
That's right. And in the comparable stat, nearly three quarters are looking forward to the year ahead, which is up from just about two thirds last year. But I think it's important to put it in context. I think that, when we look at some other data that we've seen, we have less than half that agree that things are better now than they were before COVID. And I think when we talk about the overall sense of where things are going from a consumer confidence standpoint, obviously we do our regular monthly optimism barometer. We've seen in the last few months a pretty steady increase in those that are concerned about inflation. It's almost like people are waiting for the other shoe to drop. There's a lot of folks that feel that while the economy is still a big question mark and there could be these exogenous impacts that we're not necessarily ready for, from a personal standpoint, people feel pretty much like they themselves are better off than they were 4 years ago. And there's, I think, a number of reasons why we are in that place. Let me elaborate on that a little bit. And David, I know you've been looking at this too. A couple of things that we really see going on. We've talked a lot about what we consider to be a K-shaped economy. That means that you've got a real disparity between the haves and the have-nots. We saw even over the summer from June to August, a big 11-point jump to about 60% that strongly believe that economic realities are creating a greater gap between the wealthiest and poorest Americans, and that also a majority believing that we're a society of haves and have-nots. And I think there's a number of things that are driving that. In the golf industry, of course, the industry is fortunate enough to focus predominantly on what might be defined as the upper edge of that K. But there are a couple other phenomena going on that we've talked about. And David, I know you and I have talked a little bit about a couple of really interesting statistics that we've seen about people's perceptions and the reality of wealth transfer as we see the baby boomers continue to move into retirement and Gen X and the generations behind them getting ready to perhaps inherit some of the wealth that's been accumulated.
You know, one of the things I keep coming back to, John, is this idea that when we got out of COVID, people may not have been any more optimistic or confident, but they had to get out. They had to get on with their lives. They had to, spend time with their families. They had to do all of these things on vacation, whatever it was. Now it looks like there really is this idea that there is a possibility for optimism. There is a possibility of increased disposable income, and just maybe that kind of post-COVID, just let me get out of this, my bubble, is now being replaced with maybe it's just time to get on with our lives and kind of move on from the post-COVID shock, if you will.
I think we're even past that. I mean, there's a couple things going on. I think people are actualizing now. We see that people are their attitudes are more about living for today and creating experiences. I want to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But from an expenditure standpoint, we're sitting on $106 trillion in wealth that will be transferred between generations by 2048. And we went back and we asked folks, to indicate whether they believed that they were either going to inherit a meaningful amount of money in their lifetime or that they had already done so. And interestingly, a third of the country felt that way, and the percentages were right around 50% for those under the age of 45. And I think that helps, particularly this influx of younger folks that we've seen adopt the game, embrace the game on their own terms as the game has become much more accommodating and welcoming. And you couple that bullishness about personal finance with a more aggressive tendency to financing credit card payments. 45% agree that they've been doing that more these days than they did a year ago, which is up from 33% just back in February. You couple that with people that say that I guess two-thirds we saw in our latest research expect to devote more time to leisure activities in 2026, and a significant jump year over year in those that really want to prioritize leisure activities. And that's really accrued to the benefits of golf. So it really sets us up in a way that has catered to that higher end actualization and particularly the higher end of the golf market. I do have some concerns about the lower end, and we certainly sense that in some of our work that we've done in the industry. So that's something that I think will continue to, at least in the short term, fuel the positivity and the growth in rates that are being charged and the growth in participation and actualization that we're seeing in the game.
So let's bottom line this in terms of what we set on the macro side. How does that translate and transfer to the perspective of the golfer in 2026? What is the golfer's mindset going in, and how can the industry leverage that mindset through their product and their marketing efforts?
So a couple of things that I think is worth dwelling upon. The first is something that we've talked about, I know, with a number of our guests on Drivers, and that is just this inflection point that we're at between high touch and high tech. We're really at a moment of what I call dichotomous demand, because where the concentration of the income is right now, the older, more established core player certainly has more disposable income. The newer entrant, the younger player, is kind of wetting their feet and getting more involved in golf on their own terms. But what they're looking for and how they interact with the market is quite different. We've asked a number of questions about whether people are demanding more of this frictionless delivery that we're seeing enabled by AI and enabled by a lot of the newer technology that's influencing the golf market. And we're finding that, nearly 7 out of 10 avid golfers really still value getting strong personal attention from the golf staff at their home courses. Similarly, when it comes to, we asked if people wanted to go straight to the first tee without interacting with anybody. And that's also kind of really broken down generationally. And a majority still want to see, some touch points, because golf is a game that's ultimately about relationships and about people. And, what we've been hearing and seeing, of course, is that what a lot of this technology hopefully is going to continue to do for golf is it's going to automate and streamline some of the back office operations, but enable that to put some of the customer facing staff more in tune with consumers and more able to interact and build those relationships. AI is kind of a double-edged sword, and one thing that we've looked at is this Gartner hype cycle. David, you're involved in kind of analyzing what that is. Want to tell our viewers, our listeners, what that's all about and what that means?
Sure. When you think about when, say, a new product comes to the market, and let's focus specifically on AI, you get kind of what we call the innovation phase, and that's where people start to see a very rapid acceleration in expectations. Over the course of the time, when those expectations levels, those peak, you then get to kind of this idea of almost disillusionment, and then you see expectations over time fall. And then what that kind of takes you almost all the way down to where you were at the beginning. But then you start to see an increase, what we call the slope of enlightenment, in the kind of the third phase of new product, where people really have a better understanding of what the actual technology and the innovation can be used for, how it impacts them personally. And then you sort of plateau at the end of that to when what was called the plateau of productivity, where people start to see kind of the technology really, those who will adopt it will adopt it, those who won't.
Yeah, and I think we're at different phases when it comes to large language models. They may be more beginning to go down the down trough, if you will, of disillusionment. Whereas, one of the big things now is obviously agentic AI, and there's a lot of conversation in the golf industry about, from a marketing standpoint, it used to be all about search engine optimization, and now it's as much about making sure that the agents, the AI agents, are going to find you when it comes to tee times. That was talked about a lot. But I want to well it all together. There's a construct that we've been thinking about that, in a way, is kind of a replacement, not a replacement, but an evolution of, we all know the four P's of marketing, right? Product, price, promotion, and place is kind of how we were all taught about marketing. When we aggregate all of the things we're seeing from a consumer attitudinal standpoint, we've identified what we are calling the four E's of marketing, and I'll define them each, and then we can go into them a little bit, David. These are the four things that we really feel marketers in the golf space and elsewhere in leisure really need to be thinking about and resonating with consumers in the year ahead. And the first of those is what we call emotional connection. The second of which is just this zest for experiences. The third is eagerness, and the fourth is entitlement. Why don't we unpack them a little bit quickly here? David, talk a little bit about what you're seeing when it comes to this whole emotional connection side of it, because I think that flows a lot of out of what we were just talking about with AI's adoption and, kind of the dichotomy, if you will, between people wanting high touch and high tech.
Absolutely. And I think this really is the challenge for marketers that are using technology in their marketing and product development efforts. One of the things that we've seen is that just one third strongly prefer to buy things through a digital app rather than in a store. And over the age of 45, that's just under one quarter. Less than half strongly prefer making reservations, golf reservations, via an app. And then over one third agree that it is more convenient to handle customer service issues through an app. So really this idea of kind of incorporating technology, we're all for it for efficiency. We're all for it to enhance the consumer experience. But if you can't connect to your customers on an emotional level, you're really missing out.
And I think tied to that, just as an aside, we asked people recently, golfers recently, whether they felt lonely. And thankfully, half the country doesn't feel lonely, a little bit more than half the country doesn't. But that 35 to 44 age group, it's almost two thirds who do. So, one of golf's intrinsic values has always been that ability to connect. Talk a little bit, David, about experiences, and then I can kind of flesh out the remaining aspects of these four E's. What are we seeing and learning about experiences, and how does that tie so beautifully into what golf's unique selling propositions are?
Well, I think you're 100% right. I think this really is golf's sweet spot. We've polled folks over the course of the last couple of years, and we asked them if they agree with the statement, "It's important for my life to include a number of unique experiences." Over the past year, that's risen 14 points, and we're now, as of the end of 2025, that's up to 53%. And that's even stronger among younger adults. So this whole idea that the younger generations are glued to their phone, well, yeah, maybe they are, but when they're not, they want a life experience that they can remember.
Yeah, it's definitely playing to, the way golf facilities have expanded their offerings, have become much more conducive to derivatives and alternatives, be it gamified ranges and screen golf and nine-hole options. And that, kind of democratization of golf that we've talked about, I think, has really helped us maintain the demand levels that began to swell during COVID and have really sustained themselves over the last 5 years. I think the two other aspects, just to kind of close the loop on these 4Es, from an eagerness standpoint, like I said, some people I think are just kind of wondering when the next shoe is going to drop. They're living for today rather than tomorrow. Two-thirds of golfers feel that way. 78% of Americans agree with the statement they need a vacation. So it's just you want it now. It's just this impetuousness that I think we've talked about that continues to be more pervasive societally. And then from entitlement, I know that's a word that often gets perhaps unfairly targeted towards younger adults, but it's really, I think, something that people have been through. It's been a rough 6 years in some respects, right? We've had a very divisive political landscape. We've had, an economy that has generally been good, but inflation certainly has been problematic. And people feel a sense that, they need to actualize. 80% agree that they deserve a vacation, even more of those under the age of 45. People believe, four out of five believe that people are more in it for themselves today than they were 20 years ago, and that they're, nearly three quarters, actually more than three quarters, agree that people are more selfish than in their parents' generation. So golf kind of checks the box on all four of these E's in really playing to that personal emotional connection and providing these great experiences and satisfying a need to be rewarded with pristine experiences and to do so on the short term. So I think those are really some really fundamental marketing triggers that we need to look at. In the time that we have left, and we want to be mindful of that, a couple of other things to talk about. The marketplace, we've been looking at, golfers' outlook in terms of their spending for the last several years, actually going back about 25 years. And David, some pretty positive signs that we're seeing in terms of people's thinking about equipment in the year ahead.
Well, one of the things that really popped for me during our last wave of golf polling was that we see that even more, a higher percentage of people expect that their 2026 golf-related expenditures for equipment and apparel will be more than it was in the previous year. A full 43% believe that they'll be spending more money. That's versus only 8% that believe they'll be spending less money. I think that's a major, major trend that the golf industry really can leverage in terms of getting the product to the consumers who are incrementally more likely to spend money.
Yeah, and those numbers are up from what we saw a year ago. Again, I wouldn't, take those as projections in terms of what the market is actually going to see in terms of increase, but they are indicative of the fact that there's a bullishness out there. When we poll attitudes about golfers every year at the beginning of the year, we ask things like, what's the agreement level of that? There's some great new equipment coming out to the market that I'm really interested in checking out, and nearly three quarters agree strongly with that. We have 82% that believe that golf equipment continues to become more technologically innovative every year. So, when you look at those types of factors, you look at three quarters that consider game improvement a priority. That also bodes well with the proliferation of new product that we saw in Orlando and that will be making their way to retail in the year ahead. Just closing the gap on retail. We continue to look at channel preferences, and that continues to be widely distributed and obviously much more concentrated on the off-course side of the game than the green grass side. I mean, green grass sales or green grass expectations in terms of where people plan to make their next equipment purchases, it's about one in five. And then you've got almost an equal distribution between mainline sporting goods and golf specialty. And certainly, we've seen some really strong growth and continued robustness for the internet online sales, almost one out of five in terms of people's expectations. So, the consumer outlook is robust. I think that we're really seeing ripe conditions to continue to have a positive environment, absent any exogenous factors. I think, the only thing that we're really kind of a little bit skittish about in the short term is in terms of the lower end of the market. And we've heard from a number of facility operators and owners that, certainly while the supply demand ratio in golf has kind of righted itself, there's been a net contraction of golf courses over the last decade and a half, which was needed because we were overbuilt. But again, it looks like what we're seeing now in terms of development seems to be skewing more towards the elusive higher end bucket list trip. That's great for that upper end of the K, but I hope we don't, jeopardize pricing ourselves out of the lower end of the K. So that's really the only immediate warning sign that I'm thinking about right now. David, any other thoughts or comments before we wrap up?
Yeah, just to put a bow on everything that we've talked about, I will just say this in terms of what we mentioned with respect to technology, what we mentioned in terms of the customer looking to spend more money and really loving the equipment, marketing really needs to focus on the love of the game, what it is that your equipment can do, and realize that technology is only half the story. If you remember last year, we talked about what might be the specific challenges. And one of the things I mentioned was this idea that there may be some marketing issues that come up. And one of the things that came up a lot this year was the idea of people going to older equipment, more distribution channels for older equipment, people buying and not buying new and buying old. And even in many cases, we saw so many pros going with older equipment and really setting the stage for those golfers that say, well, I always like to buy and I always like to play what the pros play. And if the pros are playing the older equipment and that becomes the story, it really dominates the headlines and all those marketing messages go away. So really focus on the benefits to the golfer, the benefits to the love of the game and how to make the most out of, like you said, the experience of playing golf.
Well, we hope this has been helpful for those of you as you kind of get ready to move into the more formal season. For those of you in the colder climates, and it's been pretty cold up where I live of late, unlike David in southern sunny Southern California. I'm looking forward to getting out of the cold again soon because we've got about 10 inches of snow on the ground, but it won't be long before we're out there. And of course, with the proliferation of simulators, I think I must have seen about 10 or 15 of them at the PGA show. That's where I'll be keeping my game in its relative state over the next couple of weeks while it's still cold out there.
Yeah, I know how you feel, John. As I said to you earlier this week, when I played Sunday, I had to wait till the third hole before I took off my sweatshirt. So it's really been bad out here.
You're not going to get any empathy from me on that. But thank you all for listening. And we'll be back with another episode of Drivers soon with a number of really great guests lined up for the year ahead. But obviously, wanted to begin with an overview of what we're seeing as we go into the 2026 season. Thanks for joining us today on Drivers.